This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts. Free your mind!
Sex worker, and yes, it does.
In girls with the good sense, I am beyond repentance. Bang hooker,
sex workers,
which will make her mind.
Listen up close while I take it backwards. Okay, begins to gather to me, which I will. I'm not a prostitute.
Sex workers,
but I can give you what you want.
Sex worker, damn it.
Go get some.
Tuned in to the Vixen Hour. Sex workers setting the record straight on Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. Red Umbrella Radio.
The Vixen Hour is your weekly radio show that explores life, issues, and the world from a sex worker's perspective. This is your opportunity to challenge the stereotypes and prejudice that you may have about sex work and hear from the actual voices of sex workers ourselves. We are out loud and proud. This is the only community radio program in the world that is publicly broadcast to your radios and available via live stream ad podcast that is 100% produced and presented by sex workers. Turn it up.
All discussions presented on Vixen Hour are made in the interests of community information and are not intended to induce any individual to seek employment in the sex industry. For more information in this area, we recommend individuals to get in contact with their local sex work organisation. The Vixen Hour. Everyone has an opinion about sex work. Make yours an informed one.
Joy 94.9.
You are with the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. If you would like to interact with us tonight, you can text in on 0427 JOY949 or send us an email at onair@joy.org.au. I'm your host, Anstia, and tonight we're talking all about the Joy's 20th birthday, which is happening this week. As part of the Joy 20th birthday, we're talking to Christian all about his interactions with Joy over the last 20 years. So let's see what he had to say about becoming a Joy listener. When did you first start listening to Joy?
Wow, I started listening to Joy like ages ago. I remember being a teenager. I used to do this thing where I would go on little excursions on my own into the city because I never really fit in at home or at high school or anything. But as far as I knew, I was the only gay person there. So I was pretty much a loner when I was growing up. So I used to spend a lot of time on my own. And I used to always do things like pick up, at the time, the gay newspaper that was around was called Brother Sister. And this is ages ago. It's like 15 years ago is when I picked up Brother Sister, and there used to be like little ads for Joy on there, and there used to be like a temporary broadcast on a different signal that it is now, different frequency. It used to be really short-term broadcasts. So that's how I sort of first stumbled onto Joy, was like actually through the gay press.
So how were you listening then? I mean, obviously this is a time when it was on the radio, but did you have a radio that was accessible to you?
Yeah, so I had my Walkman back then, or my Discman, which was hilarious, and they had FM radios on them. So yeah, I would always listen to them there. But I was in sort of the outer suburban areas, like northwest of Melbourne. So picking up the frequency was a bit of a challenge sometimes. Sometimes I would have to go into the city to hear them. But yeah, that's how I sort of stumbled onto Joy. And it was a weird thing because, like I said, at the time I didn't think I saw any gay people around me or any queer people around me. It was kind of me trying to find people who were like me. But yeah, it was one of those, you know, really safe ways that you could connect to community. And you know, this was before Now, this is making me sound old. This was before the internet was really accessible or used by many people to connect. And certainly it was just starting when I was a teenager. So things like social media were pretty much non-existent. Yes, this was in the days back in, you know, IRC and ICQ and... We're talking about like really old internet here. So it was really challenging to find that connection to community. But doing things like seeing, you know, gay newspapers in cafes and stuff. And actually the very first copy of Brother Sister, I remember I picked up off the tram like one day and I was like, oh, there are gay people out there and the universe is sending me signals. And so, yeah, that's how I kind of stumbled upon it all, really. It all feels like quite a bit of an accident.
So what do you remember about those first broadcasts you heard on Joy?
I'm like, oh, my God, there are gay people out there and they're talking. And, yeah, no, it was challenging that isolation. You know, it felt like, oh, yes, there are people out there who are just like me and, you know, they're there and they're talking to me and hooray. You know, it was that whole... And look, I know it sounds cliche and, you know, we say it all the time at Joy, but things like that whole challenging of isolation really did come through in those early days for me. So, yeah, that's how I discovered Joy. It's interesting because, like, for me, and I've spoken about this many times and written about it, trying to find community really was, like, it felt like a massive deal for me. Like, I feel like that was one of the big reasons I left home, and I left home rather early, was to find people who were just like me. And, you know, when you're sort of floating about, like, you know, like... youth with too much time to do and to do nothing, really. Sitting on trams and listening to the radio, that was one of my things. And, yeah, I do feel a bit lucky that the way I kind of grew up, because, really, that's how I ended up spending a lot of time listening to Joy.
A voice for sex workers. The Vixen Hour. On Joy 94.9.
Connecting, representing, celebrating. Joy 94.9.
You are on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. Tonight we're celebrating Joy's 20th birthday by talking about what Christian's been up to over the last 20 years of interacting with Joy. Now we're going to listen to a bit of information about how he became a member and why.
Engaging with Joy.
Oh, God. There were a handful of shows that I would listen to. That was my regular thing. And I think that's the beauty with community radio and specialist programming is that you can really sort of, you choose programs that you're interested in and a lot of times you'd listen to for a reason. So a really good example was a show that I would always tune into was a show called Cafe Latte on a Sunday afternoon. The reason I ended up listening to that show a lot was they used to play sort of like, you know, soul and funk and R&B, and I liked the music. And Alan Ross, who was the presenter, was really engaging. That was all nice. But the reason why I listened to that particular show at that particular time was that was the time I was hungover. And it was actually music that hugged you when you were sort of in that physical state. And, you know, Joy does not condone the consumption of alcohol, but for me it did feel like, you know, appropriate time and place. And so, I mean, that was one example, but there are other examples of, like, different types of shows that you listened to because you were interested in them. I listened to Black and Pink because I was really interested in Indigenous stuff, and I used to listen to Hear Me Roar because, you know, becoming conscious of things like feminism and stuff was something I was interested in. So having specialist programs like that for me was a way of, as a listener, getting really, really engaged with the radio station.
And so when did you start becoming a member?
I think it was Radiothon 1 year. I think because I had spent a fair bit of time listening to Joy, like it was one of my presets on my Discman. I thought somebody said something like, you know, commercial radio, there was this sort of discussion around where commercial radio gets its money and what its interests were. And then they were talking about Joy as sort of this community broadcaster, and that as a community, we own the radio station. We're going to, you know, have this really amazing, fantastic platform for people to connect through and use. Then really we do need to support it as community members. And yet, so that was the reason I signed up to become a member. And I don't know how long ago that was.
Long enough ago that you can't remember.
Yeah, long enough ago that I can't remember. But yeah, it was just a way of, I felt like that was me doing my bit. And it cost nothing at the time. I remember it was like less, I don't even think it was like $20 a year. So it wasn't that huge a deal for me at the time, you know, being a student and...
Running a radio station certainly gotten much more expensive.
Absolutely, and so has membership.
Yeah.
But maybe that reflects the length of time ago that it was. What about you, Anastasia? When did you... So, I mean, you've become aware of Joy quite recently. Why did you become a member?
I became a member for pretty much the same sort of reason. I went, wow, this is a radio station that pretty much supports some of the same values that I do, and I'd like to see it keep running.
Fantastic. Like, I think particularly now in sort of this climate where you can get really, really cynical about media, I think it's really important for the community to actually stand up and say, hey, okay, if you don't like something, you actually have the power to change it.
Yeah, vote with your wallet.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think membership certainly made me feel like that. And look, I've always, you know, I'm somebody who's gone through a lot of marginalization and, you know, somebody who was, I don't know, a homeless young person, someone who is a sex worker, someone who's of a culturally diverse background. There's a lot for me to be annoyed about or to be pissed off at. But I've always been sort of a firm believer of there are ways of dealing with that sort of marginalization. And you can either run away from it or subvert it, or you can throw yourself in and try to change it.
That's right. And if no one's out there trying to change it, the change is almost certainly not going to happen.
Absolutely. And I mean, certainly that was my approach to things like activism. That was my approach to the way that I saw myself in the community. Joy, signing up to become a member, just seemed like a really naturalistic thing to do. And I didn't see it as, you know, very different from, you know, paying union fees. Or paying for Medicare. so that's very much the way that I've operated. And certainly, you know, with the amount of community involvement and activism that I've done, it's very consistent with that approach. So an example was, as a sex worker in Victoria, there is no sex worker organisation. So I worked for a service that was funding to sex work and sex workers, but there wasn't an organisation that was just made up of sex workers, which kind of brings me to Vixen. And there was this small group of sex workers who I hadn't had contact with, and I was like, they're doing something about, you know, a lot of the stuff that, you know, made me sad or made me angry. And you know, a really big important part of that was actually bringing sex workers together. So I got in contact with Vixen in its very early days, and I started getting involved in sort of sex worker activism.
Do you remember when that was, when you first contacted Vixen?
I believe it was around 2006. What's that? So, like, that's like 7 years ago now, or 8 years ago now.
Vixen would just have been getting started then.
Yeah, so it was very early on. So Vixen did start, I think it was just a few months before I actually got in contact with them. So they had started at a Scarlet Alliance National Forum that was held in Melbourne, and I got into contact with them after that. It was a while ago now.
So tell me a bit about why you decided to start the Vixen Hour.
So we're going to hear more from Christian about why he started the Vixen Hour right after this music.
Uplifting, informing, empowering. Joy 94.9.
You're listening to The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
This is The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. It's 28 minutes past nine. Now we're going to go back to the question that we asked before the break. How did The Vixen Hour get started?
Well, The Vixen Hour was sort of was an idea in my head for a really long time, and a recurring issue for the sex worker rights movement and the, you know, in the sex working community is things don't go so well if other people are speaking on our behalf. And this is sort of felt by a whole range of communities, no matter how they're marginalized, whether it's ethnic groups or the GLBTI community. You know, if somebody else is speaking on our behalf, there's always the potential of getting it wrong. And if they, particularly if they haven't consulted with that community that they're speaking on behalf of, it does say something like, oh, that community can't speak for itself, which just wasn't, I didn't feel that was true, because sex workers were, you know, in Australia, we have a really dynamic sex worker rights movement. We have sex worker organisations. Sex workers are community leaders with their own communities. So I kind of felt like sex workers do have a voice, and while there are a whole bunch of other people who are speaking out there on our behalf, I was like, you know, hang on, we can speak for ourselves, you know. And certainly there were a lot of people who've been, you know, who've been trying to show that, and all throughout the world. So it's funny, I remember interviewing Dr. Brooke Magnanti, and she talked about Tracy Kwan, and these are sex workers who are over the internet, you know, speaking for themselves, speaking from lived experiences. So like, even internationally, it was already happening. In Australia, there was, you know, with the advent of HIV, the Australian response was to fund partnership approaches with communities. So gay men got money, which is how they formed the AIDS councils that are still around today. Injecting drug users got money, so there are, you know, drug user associations in every state. And certainly sex workers also were equipped to form their own organisations. And like in those very early days of the 80s, we showed that sex workers can be organised, can have a voice. I just thought, you know, well, what's one thing I can do to bring about that voice? And that idea, the idea that I had was the Vixen Hour. So, yeah, that's pretty much how that came about. So there was a show on Joy 94.9 called The Roundup, which was a news and current affairs show. And I remember listening in one day, and they had interviewed a anti-sex work academic, so a radical feminist, someone who was saying that sex work was violence against women and that no one could do it as a choice. And I remember one of the hosts of the roundup was Jed Gilbert, who is the current president at Joy.
Oh.
I remember listening in at the time, and he was kind of the only voice in the studio that was saying, well, some people choose to do sex work, and, you know, what about those people who actually want to do it? And there was a moment for me where I thought, there can't just be one person in the room, you know, defending, you know, my right to work. And again, when we talk about, you know, communities stepping up and claiming a voice, I felt like, you know, there's a whole bunch of reasons why people don't do that. And I want to acknowledge that it's not easy to step up and have a voice for everyone. But for me, I kind of felt like, you know, I was connected to this radio station. I had friends who volunteered for Joy. I'd signed up to become a member. It's like, you know, I can do this. So that's when the idea of starting a radio program that was just 100% sex workers, you know, speaking for themselves about their own experience, that's when that sort of idea was born out. And there was a whole bunch of ideas that I had in my head. Another idea that probably set the Vixen Hour back 12 months was I really wanted to put together a festival.
Oh, yes, yes, of course.
So at the time, Vixen members, sex workers are amazing, and I think that's one of the real things I wanted to show with the radio show was, like, I kind of knew how amazing and dynamic and strong and resilient sex workers were. I wanted to share that with everybody, so that was one of the big motivations for the show. And at the time, you know, sex workers were doing all sorts of things to engage with the community, whether it was like through performance art or making films or lecturing at uni or doing research or running workshops. So So there was all these things that Vixen members were doing, and I was just kind of like, well, hang on, why don't we bring it all together and have one big event where we can do all of those things? And that's when the Festival of Sex Work came about. Because I was organising that, it had sort of put the idea of putting together a radio show back by about, you know, 6 to 12 months. But after the first Festival of Sex Work, it was like, right, I'm pretty sure I can do a radio show on top of this.
Because you just weren't doing enough things at once.
I know. I've always been a juggler in terms of, you know, whether it's different roles that I have or, you know, I do, you know, being active in the community. Like I said before, if somebody sort of feels like they can do it, it's kind of part of my, I guess, ethical code that you should do. If you can do it, you should do it, because kind of like how I acknowledged before, there are a whole bunch of people who can't. Because I felt like I could, it was like, well, let's give this a go. Yeah, because I had known a few people who had volunteered at Joy, and certainly Joy, a number of presenters had contacted me through my work with Vixen to interview me on a lot of different shows. The very first time somebody contacted me was Sue Wilkinson, who still presents at Joy on Friday Drive, but she was covering for, you know, one of the Joy heroes, Adam Stobbs, on his show Allegro Non Troppo, and this was back in 2009, and she thought, you know, interviewing a sex worker would be an interesting thing to do. Allegro Non Troppo did have these, like, sort of interviews interwoven with classical music. So me and my boyfriend at the time actually got on air and was interviewed by Sue. And then from there, I also got to be interviewed by Hugh on Orange Ribbon and, like, Dean on Hide and Seek. So there was a whole bunch of opportunities to engage with Joy. So, like, I'd already done some studio time, made friends with people at Joy. It kind of felt like the next thing to do is actually to start volunteering myself. That, with the idea of the show in my head, yeah, it was just sort of a natural progression to putting a show together, and that show was the Vixen Hour. So, yeah, last year I was in conversation with a whole bunch of people going, well, so if somebody wanted to do a show on Joy, what do you have to do? And resoundingly, people were saying, you know, if you want to get on air, the quickest way to do that is to do the Taste of Radio course. And so I did. So I signed up, and, yeah, that's pretty much how we started with getting the show proposal in for the Vixen Hour.
A voice for sex workers. The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
A little less straight than other radio stations. Joy 94.9.
You are on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. Before those messages, we heard All the Wild Wonders by Coco's Lunch. And now we're going to continue on with our interview with Christian. You've decided to become a board member. Why did you decide to devote more of your time to Joy?
Because I'm crazy. There's a consistent theme here when I say, if you can, you should. And that's part of my moral compass, if you like. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a part of it, everybody's, but for me, it is. This was kind of one of the reasons why when I sort of first put my hand up to be on board, and they do ask you, why do you want to do it? And for me, it was, you know, I didn't see, it's interesting when, during the AGM where I was elected, I kind of got up and I told this story about when I was growing up, I didn't really see anybody who was like me. And listening to Joy, it was a way of connecting to people and finding those people. But the interesting thing was when I got to Joy and when I got to that AGM, and in particular the board that came previously, there wasn't a lot of, I still didn't see people who looked like me. Interestingly enough, after I got here. So I had this, you know, really strange feeling of deja vu, nostalgic deja vu, if you like, of, oh, like you get here and, you know, there wasn't anybody of diverse culture on the board. There wasn't people who were talking about queer issues or who, you know, who were sex workers or who had experienced my level of marginalization or who had my sense of community. So I thought, you know, this is something that I can contribute, you know, and rather than being annoyed or pissed off that I don't see this in certain spaces where I would like to, you can be the change that you want to see in the world. Like, you know, I wanted to see more colour on the board, and that I feel like that wasn't possible until I actually put my hand up to do it. So they're the things, you know, that sort of drove me to put my hand up on the board. The other big thing is I had learnt so much from doing the Vixen Hour, and not just from, you know, my own community and them sharing stories, but how much the radio station actually can give to people and give to people like me, you know, being able to get in contact with my people, my community, and give them sort of a platform and enable them and empower them to actually get up and claim that voice. I mean, the greatest achievement I feel that I've made with the Vixen Hour is I left it.
Yeah, you were able to leave it and was still able to continue.
Exactly. And, you know, that is, like, the most affirming thing for me. Like I said before, the Vixen Hour was never about me. It was about what I could give to my community. And so when the opportunity came for me to do a job interstate, it's incredibly affirming to me that, you know, I didn't have to choose whether the show continues or not because this other opportunity was given to me. It was really heartening to see people like you and other sex workers actually stand up and say, look, it's all right, we got this, we can do this. And so, like, it gives me immense joy, if you like, to know. See what I did there? To know that, you know, the community is going to get up and continue with the radio program. It is community radio. So for me, that's an incredible story. And yeah, that they're the things that I want to sort of give back to Joy. I've learned all these things, all of these amazing things. And not just that. I'm connecting with other volunteers at Joy who are incredible people, by the way. You know, it does take a lot to actually get up and give back to this community organization. I felt like I'd learnt so much from them that I wanted those experiences, those voices, those lessons to actually come back to the board. So that's why I'm really excited about the board of directors at Joy this year. Not only are we seeing a shift in terms of diversity, I mean, it was a board that was made up entirely of men that all kind of looked the same. no disrespect to the previous board, but it wasn't very diverse, and this year it is, like, you know, it's a majority female board. The board also has a lot of people who are volunteers at Joy, so I think bringing those experiences to that level of the organization is a really good and healthy and an exciting thing. So I'm looking forward to it.
Made in Melbourne for Australia and the world, Joy 94.9.
I'm Dr. Brooke Mignanti, formerly known as Belle du Jour, and you're listening to The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
So we are coming towards the end of The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9, but before we go, Christian has some thank yous to say.
Oh, God, there are so many people I want to thank. I want to thank every single sex worker who's been a part of The Vixen Hour. You know, since January, we've had over 50 voices on the air, you know, which is incredible.
Yeah.
The voices of 50 sex workers. I want to thank, like, the volunteers at Joy who've shown us nothing but support and acceptance and who listen to us and who've told me that they've learned stuff that, you know, the show has changed their perspective. I don't think I could have stayed at Joy if I didn't have those connections to other people who weren't sex workers, by the way. So, like, this, you know, we were getting a lot of support from them. I want to thank the people who listen every week because they're incredible. And you know, when Joy moved to its new website, the Vixen Hour was the most downloaded podcast. And I think that really cemented in a lot of people's minds that we were doing something significant with the radio show. So I do really want to thank the listeners and the people who do sort of take the time to hear what we have to say and to contribute and to feedback and to SMS in or email in. It really means a lot to us. And to people like you, Anastasia, and the team who continues to do the Vixen Hour, like I said, it's incredibly affirming that people would get up there and continue the work that I've started. Thank you, everybody.
And thank you to you, Christian. It's been fantastic working with you, and I'm so glad that you got the Vixen Hour started. This has been the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.